Hey, thanks so much, team. That was really beautiful. Yeah, why don't we thank them? They did a beautiful job. Great to have you here this morning. If I haven't met you, my name's Jo, and it's beautiful to be part of this lovely community church, and I love that we have the name community as part of, you know, the name of our church, because we really are part of the wider community. I love the way that we just gather together, so yeah. Now, before I head into my message on, as Dave mentioned, the invitation to rest, I just want us to pause for a moment. Now, I don't usually, you know, suggest participatory exercises while I'm preaching, but I just think that this one is a good way to start today. Don't worry, there's no paperwork involved. But if you feel comfortable, can I just encourage you to just join your wrists in front of you in an X shape, yep, and then place them on your chest. So this is the ASL, or the Australian Sign Language sign for rest. So now just take three deep, slow breaths. Okay, you can stay that way if you like, you can rest your hands back down, but I thought it would be a good way to ease into this message on the invitation to rest as part of our summer series. I remember when I was back in primary school, and you might remember the same, we'd be given our, you know, blank exercise books to write our work in. I'm a bit of a stationery lover, so I always thought it was fabulous to have a new book and to do a new title page. I don't know about you, but like, my kids are grown up now, but this time of the year, I always would be thinking, am I going to be able to contact the books this year without all of the creases in it? Anyway, I thought, you know, if I could invent a spray-on contact, I could become really rich. But anyway, it never happened. Not really that way inclined, but anyway. So at our school, and probably yours, our teachers asked us to rule a margin on the left-hand side of the page. And I remember measuring 2 centimetres with my ruler at the top, and a little dot, and 2 centimetres at the bottom, and ruling that line. And that margin was to be left blank, usually for teachers' comments, hopefully some nice ticks and smiley stamps. But one thing was for sure, you only started writing after the margin. And I see rest as a similar concept. You know, if the writing on the page represented all of our various activities, our family time, work, leisure time, then the margin would represent the rest. You know, when we were at school, we didn't just draw a margin on every fourth page, and on the other pages, we'd let the writing take up the whole of the page. And I feel the Lord impressing on us not to let our work and other activities take up the whole page. And, you know, while ruling a margin on the pages of our days and weeks might seem simple, it's not always easy. God created us to rest and encourages us to rest. And, of course, He leads by example, which we see with the post-creation rest that He took, as we read in Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. I had little pictures here, but it didn't kind of translate onto the pro presenter thing that we use, so they're just blank screens and the words are a bit skew-iff, so just, you know, bear with me. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation, so He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when He rested from all His work of creation. And there are a number of Old Testament scriptures commanding the people of God to observe the Sabbath day of rest. And through Jesus, of course, we live under grace and not under the law, but the principles of Sabbath rest remain. And as Peter Cesaro, the author of Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, explains, Sabbath rest isn't just about taking a day off. Ultimately, it's about relationship, about being with God rather than doing things for God. And he describes four elements of a Sabbath rest. So the first is to stop or cease from your paid or unpaid work. The second one is to rest. Maybe have a sleep, eat some amazing food, go out with your friends or your spouse or your family, read a novel, go for a long hike, watch a movie, have a swim, visit an art gallery. Rest can come in all different forms, and we each like to rest in different ways. The third element is delight. When God rested after creation, it was a celebration. And when we stop and rest, it gives us time to delight in the gifts that he offers us in creation, including people, places, and things. So ask yourself that question, what brings me joy and delight? And focus on these things when you have times of rest. And then the fourth element is contemplate. Just spend time pondering the love of God as our central focus. Cesaro writes, what makes a Sabbath a biblical Sabbath is that it is holy unto the Lord. We're not taking time off from him, we're drawing closer to him through our rest. Spend the Sabbath looking for his grandeur in everything from nature to the food you eat to children, sports, hobbies, and music. And you know, we don't need to get overly prescriptive about a certain time of the day or the week when we intentionally rest. The important thing is that we actually take time to do it. And personally, I try to have a day that looks somewhat like a Sabbath rest once a week, and I am by no means perfect, let me say. I'm continually working on this. Sometimes I'm feeling anxious and I find it difficult to rest. Sometimes I just can't seem to, you know, switch off. But I think it's something that it's worth us continuing to put into practice. And so that's it for me. I am by no means perfect. I'm committed to try and get the balance right. Jeff Hanen, the founder of the Denver Institute for Faith and Work, who I met a couple of years ago, says that to be like God and to become fully human, we need both work and rest in proper proportion. So there are also, you know, many references to rest and stillness in the Psalms. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. And of course, Psalm 23, he lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of his good name. And I love Eugene Peterson's message paraphrase in verse 3 of Psalm 23. He says, true to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. I love that. And Peterson also describes Sabbath as a time to receive silence and let it deepen into gratitude. Sometimes there's so much noise in our world that taking time out just for silence and allowing gratitude to rise up on the inside of us is really important. And of course, you know, the earthly life of Jesus is such a great model for us when it comes to rest. You know, sometimes I think it's easy for us to forget that while he was fully God, he was also a fully human and needed to rest, needed to sleep, just like we do. And during his earthly ministry, there was plenty to do. You know, Jesus knew that his time was limited. He had a spiritual mandate of 3 years that was forever going to change the course of human history, but he still knew the importance of drawing aside and taking time to rest, setting a margin. And you know, there's many examples in the Gospels of Jesus heading off by himself to rest, and he encouraged the disciples to do the same. But one of my favorite descriptions of Jesus being relaxed is at the end of Mark chapter 4, when the disciples are with Jesus in the boat, and a huge storm whips up, and Jesus stays asleep at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Like, I love that extra little description detail that Mark put in there. And the disciples are like, don't you even care if we drown? And then he gets up and he speaks to the wind and the waves and they settle back down. But he's doing that, like, it's like he's doing this incredible work out of a place of rest rather than the opposite. And he also issues an open invitation for us to rest in him. Of course, Matthew 11:28, such a famous verse. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And of course, you might be familiar with the Message paraphrase, the way that Peterson describes it. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And you might be here this morning and need to hear this. You might be starting out the new year and you're feeling tired. That's okay. Just out of circumstances. I just feel as though the Lord wants to give us permission and an invitation to rest in his presence. And I think, you know, rest isn't always a place. Think tropical island. I mean, I think I could rest pretty well on a tropical island. But rest is always a person. And that person is Jesus. If we can truly learn the unforced rhythms of grace, we can get really good at resting in Jesus, in his presence, no matter what our circumstances are throwing at us, even when there's storms about us in our lives. And of course, there may be some challenges that you face around rest, like chronic pain or caring responsibilities for young children or elderly parents or other family members. So the way that we each rest is going to depend on our specific context. And I think this is just so important. Rather than comparing ourselves to the way that other people rest, who might be in different stages of lives to us, you know, let's just concentrate on ourselves. The main points that I want to communicate are that God created us to rest as part of our humanity and that he is with us in our rest. He wants us to rest and it pleases him because it helps us to be and not always to do. And you know, I think subconsciously we can sometimes be a bit afraid to rest, especially when it comes to our work. There was a survey that was conducted a few years ago called Project Time Off that found that 61% of respondents feared looking replaceable at work if they took time off to rest. And 56% said, but no one else can do my job. So some of the reasons that people may be subconsciously afraid to rest include, you know, needing to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and not us. Needing to trust him to take care of things while we rest. Especially, you know, for instance, if you have your own business, for instance, and you don't have somebody who's stepping in while you take some rest. Also admitting that we have human limitations. We can't do it all. Or worrying what will happen when we stop. I've heard people say that they don't want to take time off because when they do, they get sick. And I think that really probably says more about how we manage our regular time than our rest time. And also, if our identity is linked to our work or our volunteering, then we might find it hard to rest for too long. So if you sometimes find it hard to take a rest, you know, just ask yourself whether any of these might apply to you. Because resting is actually an act of humility, of saying, you know what, I can't do it all, I need to take time out. So this morning I'm going to be suggesting that there are three different types of rest that we're invited into with God. And the list isn't exhaustive, you might be able to think of some others yourself, but I think they're a good place to begin. And I feel that these apply whether you're currently in paid work, unpaid work, looking for work, studying, or pretty much any scenario. So the first type of rest is what I would call a reset rest. It's when you take annual leave, long service leave, maybe a retreat. And this type of rest isn't, you know, where you're ruling your 2 centimetre margin on your page. This is where you've got the diagonal line. Oh, don't you love doing that? When I used to have a paper diary, put the diagonal line through that page. Nothing. I'm doing nothing that day. This is the unplug type of rest. And for you, you know, it might be camping by the river somewhere, spending a couple of days or weeks on a staycation with the family at home, whatever it is. You know, for our family, we've spent the past 25 years down the south coast for a couple of weeks in January, which we did again this year, like half of the St. George and Sutherland Shire. There's not too much phone coverage, and we go for long walks, do jigsaws, read books, watch cricket, eat lots of food. A few years ago, Brennan and I had a longer extended time of leave, and we went overseas and walked the Portuguese Camino for 300 kilometres, and you know, it was a true reset rest, a pilgrimage. I definitely felt God's presence with me in that time. And for the past probably 7 or 8 years, I've tried to take at least a 3-day retreat once a year, maybe sometimes twice a year, just to stop and to be in God's presence. I've even tried a silent retreat, which, you know, I like to talk a lot, so that was challenging, but it was amazing. It was actually amazing just to have this time. It was this invitation, I felt, just to be quiet in God's presence and hear from Him. So I love doing that. And, you know, when it comes to the remainder of my year, there's one question I like to ask myself, and that, I guess, is what restful practices that I kind of do when I'm on leave can I bring into my regular week? Might be something you can reflect on as well. So that's the reset rest. The second type of rest is what I would call responsible rest. And as I say, God created us as human beings to rest. And whether we like it or not, our body, you know, needs a certain number of hours of sleep each night or each day if you're a shift worker. And we all know, we've all probably tried it, sleep banking actually doesn't work. Think of it as a kind of pre-drawn margin in your book of life. And of course, for some people, depending on age and stage of life, sleep can be difficult to come by. If you've got very young children or you experience insomnia, you know, my heart really goes out to you because it's a tough journey. And, you know, I know there's been times when I've been really anxious and find it difficult. You know, you're still looking at the clock and it's 3 a.m. and that's not easy. But for those of us who are able to some extent to choose the hours that we sleep, you know, I think that there's a responsible rest time for us. And I'm a bit of a night owl, so the world tends to make a bit more sense to me, you know, post 9 p.m. It makes more sense to me than it does at 6 a.m. But if I need to get up for work or drive a car or operate machinery, then sleep is a responsibility that I need to take seriously. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, "It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest or sleep to his loved ones." As some of you know, our daughter and son-in-law live down in the Riverina, and when we've been visiting them over the past few years, when it's harvest time, it's really interesting. I mean, basically that means those communities are working around the clock for harvest. And even school attendance drops off because, you know, students are helping their families and can sometimes earn some pretty good pocket money for themselves. And the one thing I've noticed when we're out there that time of the year is that, you know, those temporary road signs that they kind of put up that flash? There's messages out there on the road saying, remember to take a break during harvest, because people are so bent on getting it in, getting the produce in, and obviously that is their, you know, major time of the year when that's going to support their families from an income perspective. But yeah, there were those signs, and signs saying don't trust your tired self. And you know, it was just really struck me, and it was a good reminder to that in the middle of incredibly busy times, it's important and it's responsible for us to take time to rest. And I wish I'd taken that advice when I was a bit younger, I have to say. When I was about 21, I was working full-time as a police officer. I was also at uni 3 nights a week, and I worked a Saturday job as a medical receptionist over at Randwick to help pay for uni, so, and plus a boyfriend down at Ostermere. So one Saturday night, after a fairly late Friday night, I was driving over to Randwick for work with the sun in my eyes, you know what it's like. And I was the first car at a set of traffic lights at a really big intersection, and I unknowingly had a micro sleep. And the next thing I knew, I woke up to a car blasting their horn right at my driver's door. They'd seen me roll through the intersection and had stopped in time, thank God. And I don't need to tell you that this literally and figuratively woke me up about getting better rest. And I, you know, to this day believe the Lord had his hand on me and the other driver. But I was really determined after that not to drive tired again. And so those road safety messages like stop, revive, survive are there for a reason. And, you know, we should take notice of them. And I think, you know, from the point of view of being a Christian, I think that this is important, because loving our neighbour includes making sure that we're rested enough to safely move about in the community or operate machinery or drive a car or whatever it might be. So that's my thoughts on responsible rest. And then regular rest, the everyday rhythm of consistent rest. And, you know, while a Sabbath rest is wonderful and needed, it's not the only form, I think, of regular resting in God that's present in our everyday lives. I think sometimes we can kind of mistakenly think that some periods of rest are more holy than others. We can kind of do that in all different aspects of our lives, can't we? That God created us for ordinary rest during our day, as well as the times that we might set apart to him. And I have to admit, you know, the word stop, as it relates to rest, can sometimes seem harsh and a bit undoable in the midst of a busy work day, in the middle of a school term or a uni semester, in the middle of raising little humans, or even, you know, in our volunteering or other family commitments during retirement. So I wonder if pause might be a more helpful thought in for those just briefer times of rest that we can build into the rhythm of our days and weeks. You know, we see that in music, the rest note. The music continues after the pause. We see it in the Psalms. The song or psalm to God will continue after that beautiful word that you see in the Psalms, Selah. It's kind of staying on the page, but heading over to the margin to take a bit of a breather. And Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I feel like that is being in God's rhythm, knowing when we need to take a pause, even in the midst of a busy day. You know, we can ask the Lord, how can I rest better? Show me your ideas, God, about how I could take a rest or a pause in my day. He knows what we've got on our plate. He understands us. He gets us. And sometimes it's just worth asking, hey, I need your help. Or having a chat with someone. What do you reckon? I'm just really struggling to get a decent rest during my week. Can you help me? I love the picture that the Apostle John paints, most likely of himself, in John 13, reclining and resting his head on the chest of Jesus. I've got a childhood memory of being out for the evening, like at a party with my parents, and being carried by my dad when he was chatting with some friends, and so he was holding me. And I was in that, you know, that half-dozing state, and I can distinctly remember having my head on his chest and being able to hear the vibration of his voice and hear his heartbeat. And I wonder if we take more time just to rest in God, even for a pause, that would help us to be more attuned to his heartbeat for ourselves, but also for those around us. So what are the barriers to rest that we need to work on overcoming? Well, if we go back to that metaphor of the margin that we've ruled on our page, do we sometimes waste our margin on things that aren't actually restful? I know I do. Are there distractions or things that consume us or even addictions that get in the way of a true rest? Maybe there are things that you label rest, which are actually the opposite. So the thing for me is the news. Now, I haven't watched a news program on television, honestly, since September 11, because we just decided, don't want our kids to, you know, have that on TV, you know. So I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't watch the news. I watch the news on my phone. I read the news. I consume the news on my phone. And sometimes I overconsume it, especially about humanitarian issues, because I've got that background. But given that it's hardly ever good news, if I consider that rest, then I'm kind of having myself on. And I am having myself on if I think that just scrolling through the news is a good way for me to spend my downtime, because it's really not. And while we were down the coast recently, I found the first few days I was kind of like, yeah, I'm resting, and I'm like scrolling through socials, I'm reading the news, and I could feel my blood pressure kind of going up. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? So I just went, right, cold turkey. And the second week, oh, so much better. It was so much better. I got a true rest. I was more present for my family, got more time to think. Yeah, so it was much better. And, you know, I'm really committed to this year just to making sure that at least one day a week that I'm just take time completely off. Off that. Maybe even more, because it was really good. Maybe it's better, just tell me what's going on in the world. I don't need to know. It's not great most of the time. So what are your barriers or distractions to rest? Are there things that you've convinced yourself are restful, but if you're honest with yourself, they're probably not? Maybe it's something that you watch online that's not healthy, maybe not even appropriate. Maybe it's continually scrolling on socials and pretending it's rest, but it actually makes you anxious that you don't have the perfect life that you're seeing on Insta or TikTok. Maybe that it's you always think that you need to have a drink in your hand to truly be relaxed. Maybe it's that you think you always need to have the house or the yard perfect before you can take a rest. Or that you just can't close that work laptop or leave the work site or say no to another customer. And you know, if you're not sure if something's bordering on being all-consuming or even an addiction, just try not doing it for a couple of days and then you'll get an inkling. So, you know, it's hard for me not to look at the news. Like, it's hard for me not to flick on that app and go, oh, what's going on? I need to, and I can always, you know, you can justify things because I'm like, I really need to pray about what's going on. So I need to look and I need to know, but I probably don't need to know every hour. Anyway, that's just me. So God invites us to rest with him and in him. And what's he inviting you to lay down for a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, so that you can really rest? And how do you best like to rest? You know, there's not much point me giving you an exhaustive list of how I like to rest, because that might just not be your thing. especially if you don't like cricket, because I love cricket. But we can increase the quality of our rest. So one of the things that we can do is, you know, could I just encourage you to customize your margins? You know how if you're like in a Word document and you can choose what size are the margins? Rest isn't a one size fits all. You know, do you need more margin for rest at the top of your day, like in the morning? Or at the bottom, at the end of your day? Do you need to make that left margin bigger? And of course, that's going to entirely depend on what your personal situation is. And thinking about, you know, the quality rest, maybe you've heard of the term sleep hygiene. It's a well-being practice that helps you prepare for sleep. Things like going to bed and waking up at the same time each day, which Brendan and I have said, we've committed to that together for this year. You know, putting our devices away, reading a book instead. Personally, for me, every night, I have like a herbal tea an hour before bed, sometimes some chocolate, but you know, I have a room spray. This might be not you. If you're a guy, you're like, what's this? Although Brennan gets to have the room spray as well. Like, I have a room spray, I have a hand cream, I have a lip balm. And it's like it's telling my body, it's time for rest. It's time for sleep. It's an atmosphere. Again, that might not work for you, but that's what I've tried to implement over the past few years. And as I've been, you know, prepping this message, I've been reflecting that there are also rest hygiene practices which help us even in our waking hours when we need to pause or stop or even do our work in a more restful way. Things like, what's your posture when you're resting? Like, I find myself sometimes, I'm like, yep, I'm resting. And I'm like, I need to just relax. So I intentionally try to, like, I read that it's a really good thing to cup your hands and just, you know, put your body into a place that is a bit more of a relaxed posture. You know, and if you're on the road during your work day or you've got your AirPods in while you're working, is there a particular Spotify playlist that is going to help you relax a little bit more rather than press your red buttons, you know? How far ahead are your margins ruled? Are you just doing it day by day, or are you putting your margins ahead so that you've got in your diary some downtime? I think that's really important. And what does a true downtime look for you, whether that's in your weekday lunch break or on the weekend? So do the things that create an atmosphere of rest in God. A friend of mine once said that her theme for the year was light the damn candle. Because she's had so many candles being gifted to her over the years. She's like, I'm going to light that candle. I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to, you know, because I guess for her, lighting a candle was a restful thing. And, you know, if you're under the age of 30 and you're in this room, I think if you can create good rhythms of rest now, it just sets you up for the rest of your life. And if you're over the age of 30, it's never too late to start. And you know, of course, as I said, rest can look different depending on our context. If you're a student with multiple jobs, you know, people might assume that you have a lot of downtime, but that's often not the case. So, you know, we need to ask God to help us plan our rest and put it in the diary. If you've got young kids, rest can be really hard to come by. So you just got to grab it when it's on offer. And sometimes household tasks just have to wait while you have a power nap. Have a power nap at any age. How good's a power nap? And, you know, it can be tempting to just watch another episode of, you know, whatever's the latest streaming show that you're really enjoying. But, you know, set an alarm to go to bed, not just to get up, for all of us. So it's important for us, just as we come to a close, to remember that rest is not just for us. Do you mind coming up, Bretto? Thanks. Just maybe strumming some nice, lovely tune. Thank you. When we, some restful music, that's right. The restful worship on the Spotify. when we rest well, we can more actively participate in God's kingdom, whether that's through our work, our family, or our community. And resting well helps us work and play well. Not the Mars bar, okay? A day. See, the people who are like under 40 are kind of like, I don't know what she's talking about, but there was a really famous ad for Mars bars. A Mars a day helps you work, rest, and play. But anyway. And of course, rest isn't new. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." And as we pause or stop, our rest becomes an act of worship to God. We're in His rhythm and acknowledge our own limitations. So can I encourage you to take a look at your calendar or your diary as you're planning out this year, and maybe put some extra margin in there for rest, for reset rest, responsible rest, and that beautiful rhythm of regular rest. And you know, tomorrow's a public holiday. I mean, you might have a barbie planned, you might have some other activities, but can I suggest that you take some time just to carve out some rest in God's presence tomorrow? Maybe even in a different space or place to usual. Try a different way of connecting with God and resting in Him. You could sit and have a cuppa with Him, go for a prayer walk, watch a sunset, sit in silence, bake something delicious. You'll have your own thoughts, but just a few suggestions. And I want to close with a prayer by Pete Gregg from 24/7 Prayer that they include on their Lectio 365 app each Sunday. I read it this morning. And I think it beautifully sums up what it means to have a real rest in God and surrender to Him despite everything that's going on around us. Lord, may this Sabbath day, this Sabbath rest, bring rest to my heart and my home. May God's image in me be restored and my imagination in God restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed me and His Spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Amen.